Right, so welcome back and thank you very much for staying with us. Now time for Food for Thought, brought to us by Roverman Productions. Be
the difference.
Uncle, good morning.
My favorite, how about you, sir?
Uncle.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
How was your weekend?
It was a good one. Yes, good one. A bit stressful, but it was okay.
All right. I had a fantastic time with my team at Potter City.
Oh, okay.
Have you been there before?
Potter City at, is it Pram Pram thereabout?
Pram Pram.
Yes. I've been there.
Fantastic place.
Fantastic place. It's a wonderful place.
It is. And so let me say good morning to Prophet Nanasseh Opoku Sakodie and for hosting us and for his hospitality and generosity. Oh, and I would say we are counting down to takeover.
Sure. Very important.
On the 5th, it starts from the 5th, 6th and 7th, and then 12th, 13th and 14th of this month. And we are very excited and looking forward to it. Now, I would say this week, I bring my series of reflections on fathers to an end.
Okay.
So this morning, I want to talk about one of my favorite fathers in the Bible. He's a father in the story of the prodigal son.
Okay.
The prodigal son is one of the popular parables Jesus told. The story has three main characters: the father, the younger son, and the elder son. And I'm giving them in the order of the appearance. The story is simple. A restless and rebellious boy goes to his father and demands for his portion of his father's estate whilst the old man is still alive. It is a most improper and inappropriate request for a son to make of his father. The normal thing is to wait till your father dies to know what he has left you. At any rate, he was not the first born, and so his claim to any portion of his father's estate was tenuous. What is interesting, however, is that the father gave in to the young man's demand. The question is, why did he allow the boy to have his way? We call the parable the prodigal son, but I think it should be called the model father. You know, real fathers allow their children to make their mistakes and learn from them. Real fathers allow their children to have and exercise their free will and will not intervene until the children have learned that there are consequences to their choices and they have learned from their mistakes. Real fathers know that is when children learn, when they make their mistakes and discover the consequences for the mistakes.
Sure.
Average father, however, cannot risk that. And so they keep the children from exploring and learning. They keep the children sheltered. And so instead of raising eagles, they raise chicken. A real father's approach to loving his children and raising them can confuse even his wife and the children themselves. That is why often children do not think their father loves them. A father's love is difficult to understand because father does not make noise about his love, but it is strong. I am sure that the boy's mother took issue with her husband for allowing him to have his way. I can imagine the stress the woman would have given him in the bedroom. I can imagine her asking him, "So you actually let him go? Do you love your son at all?" And I can imagine him responding like Winston would, "But the boy wanted to go. What did you expect me to do about it?" Now, being a father myself, I can go into the mind of the man after his son left home and tell you how miserable he would have been at losing his son to youthful exuberance and folly. The father would have lost sleep and even appetite, but he's a man. And much as he would love to have his son back, there was no way he was going to go after him. For him, a process has begun and it will have to run its full course. The boy wanted to go into the world and he has. He would have to learn to deal with the consequences of that decision. No one drove him from home. He left. So let him live with the consequences of his choice until he himself comes to his senses and acknowledges his mistake and comes back home. A father may counsel you about your choices, but if you are stubborn about it, he will back off and allow you to have your way. But when you have had your way and suffered the consequences, your father will be standing by to welcome you back without judging you. That is the heart of a father. I saw an example of this at the funeral of the Reverend Billy Graham. One of his daughters, Ruth Graham, the third of his five children, took the podium to give her tribute to her father. She said that her first marriage collapsed after 21 years. It left her devastated. And so her family thought it would be a good idea for her to move away to get a fresh start somewhere else. She moved to a city where her sister and her family lived and began attending their church. At church, she was introduced to a handsome widower, and they began to date, in her words, fast and furiously. Her children didn't like him, but she brushed their concerns aside. Her father called her from Tokyo and said, "Honey, why don't you slow down? Let us wait to get to know this man." She ignored the concerns of her father and went ahead to marry the man. And I want you to listen to this. Ruth said, within 24 hours, not 24 days, within 24 hours, she knew she had made a terrible mistake. After 5 weeks, she was so afraid of the man for her life that she fled. She had no other option now but to return to her parents' home. On the two-day drive to her parents' house, she asked herself what she was going to say to them. She felt she had let them down and expected them to say to her, "We told you not to do it. You've embarrassed us." Now, the Billy Graham mansion was on the side of a mountain. And as she drove up and rounded the last bend to the driveway, she saw her father standing there waiting for her. She had apparently seen her driving up the mountain. As she got out of the car, he wrapped his arms around her and said, "Welcome home." And that was it. There was no shaming. There was no blame. There was no condemnation, just unconditional love. And that is the heart of a real father. It allows you to be, and when you wake up, it embraces you and stands with you. Ruth said, quote, "You know, my father was not God, but he showed me what God was like that day," end of quote. And that is the thing about a father's love. It is the closest thing to the love of God than anything else in this world. A father's love is tough and tender at the same time. It is tough enough to allow you to have your way if you are stubborn, and tender enough to take you back when you come to your senses and find your way back home. It is unfortunate when a father fails his children, but when a father is truly a father, we see God in his love. No wonder God allows us fathers to share the same title with him, Father. And Abojise, that is my presentation for this morning.
Thank you very, very much, Uncle Ibo White with Food for Thought. A great one.